Today we hear from the marvellous Mari McAfee, personal impact expert and CEO of Scene Change Creative Consultants. During this episode, Mari will be discussing our need to adapt and change to working from home. She also discusses her strategies around working patterns that will help you to succeed.
This webinar is particularly for people that perhaps you might have worked a couple of days a week here and there at home, but suddenly you're thrown into this new life. I would like to just tell you that I know there's a lot of parents out there that are struggling to think, how do I do this working at home and homeschooling my children at the same time? I also have two children who are 10 and 7. We're having to do that. I live with my husband and we're taking turns about in that. I will cover a little bit of that, how you manage working at home with other people and with children. But also, I'm aware that there's many people out there that don't have children that are looking at how do I manage myself effectively. I have been working as a personal impact expert, workshop leader and coach for over 15 years. My work is very much out in the classroom, going into your organisations, helping people with presentation skills, impact and influencing skills, negotiating skills, and everything all about personal communication. Many of you might have read my biography. I'm not going to go into detail about that, credentializing myself right now, because this is full of content. So the whole thing is about managing the challenges of working remotely at home, individually, and as part of the team. I'm going to give you some very quick, easy to implement tips on overcoming these challenges, or at least working with the challenges. Some quick wins on how to remain focused. As I said, I've been working at home at sometimes 5 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week for the last 10 years. So I really know how this can impact on people that aren't used to that. I'm going to explore briefly about how we work with virtual teams and also how we can help those teams to become high performing. And this isn't just teams that you're working with in your professional life, but actually the team that is now in your home. You may be living with flatmates, you may be living with your family. How do you manage that potential team that's living with you at the moment to make sure that everybody's needs are covered? About making a positive impact when you're online and just managing your motivation, your stress levels and your resilience, which we all need. So the first thing I want to talk about is routine. Unless you are a hardcore home worker or you've run your own business from your kitchen table, it can be very hard to motivate yourself and feel that you're actually at work. It might all start as an exciting project, a prospect, rolling out of bed at 10 to 9, just logging on in those PJs, but it's not sustainable over time. What that does is leads to lethargy. It can bring lack of drive and inability to focus, and it can actually help to make us lose our confidence. And over the coming weeks, with logging on to different things to try and help people with their confidence. So if you have a regular routine, which is getting up at the same time every day, please do stick to that. If you exercise in the morning, if you have to take your dog out, and I know that there's more restrictions coming in place, but whatever it is that you do that at the same time every day, try and do that. Getting the children out of bed, getting them ready to start homeschooling. Routine is incredibly important for our minds and our bodies because we're hardwired to function at our best when we follow patterns. So waking up at the same time every day helps your body to keep that rhythm going and establish that rhythm. It also helps you when you're trying to fall asleep at night. Don't hit the snooze button. Neurologists say that every time that we hit that snooze button, we can enter into a new sleep cycle pattern, which is light and fragmented. And it can actually help you to feel more tired. These are just simple tips and strategies to help you when we are in this position where everything is very different. Another thing, what you can do to help you get up in the morning is just stretch while you are in bed. Expansiveness improves our blood flow and can help to give us a jolt of energy. Know that we're all talking about mindfulness at the moment, talking about resilience and our mindset and our mental health. Try doing some visualizations while you are stretching in bed before you even dip your toe from underneath that duvet. Visualizing success, visualizing getting through your task, visualizing having good relationships with your colleagues online, with your partner that you're very cooped up with at the moment, or your children. Just visualizing what that day will look like, because what that does is our visual cortex in our brain is very well connected to our neural pathways, which helps us to achieve what we have imagined. So athletes use visualization all the time. They think about the race, they think about winning the race, they think about getting across that line, and it helps to motivate them. So actually what that does is it's releasing some dopamine, which is your motivation hormone, into your body, breathing even before you get out of bed in the morning, just breathing in for 10, holding just in for one, out for one, in for two, out for two. It's called pace breathing. It helps to flood your prefrontal cortex with oxygen. You're oxygen starved in the morning, and it helps to refresh you and to feel as though you are really ready to hit your day. Doing this, counting in and out for 10, doing that deep breathing, is like having a semi-coffee before you even leave your bed, and it helps you to feel more awake. Showering and getting dressed, ultimately important. If you can, please do that every day. There is so much scientific evidence out there that proves that what we wear really influences how we perform. And I'm going to tell you a story about that now. So Professor Adam Galinsky, who's a psychologist at the Columbia University Business School in the US, was researching the power of costume and what that does to us. And he did a scientific study with a bunch of students, didn't tell them what was going on. They just volunteered, and he asked them all to put on a white coat. And he split the group into two different breakout rooms. And he said to one room, he said, "Okay, guys, this is a doctor's coat. I want you to think that you're a doctor when you're wearing this coat. Then I'm going to do some fairly complex tests with you." So they had to answer some questions on a computer, and they had to do it to time. The other group in the other room at the same time were told that they were wearing a painter and decorator smock, and they were asked to do the same test. And what happened at the end of that, when you got all the results back, those that had imagined and thought about wearing the doctor's coat made 50% fewer errors than those that were wearing the painter and decorator's imagined smock. He was like fascinated with this. So he interviewed all the students afterwards, and he said, "So what was going on there? Tell me how you were feeling." And those that were wearing the doctor's coat said, "Well, I felt like I had to be more doctor-like, which meant that I was really concentrating. I was concerned that I didn't want to make mistakes." They have a very small margin of error in order to make mistakes because people's lives are at stake. "So I really felt that I could focus more." Those that were wearing the painter and decorator smock — I'm not saying there's anything wrong with painters and decorators, I am a creative person — but they said, "Well, you know, I just felt I didn't really know why I was doing this. I didn't feel as though I needed to do it. I was quite relaxed." So the margin of error was greater. So it's just to think about — this is not about trying to change yourself into something else, but just know that what you wear really makes a difference. When I am working at home, even if I don't have any face-to-face client calls, I will always wear business attire. And here's another top tip: if you are on the phone, or if you're having to make these Zoom calls, then wear your shoes. We are a no-shoes household, but it actually helps to focus your mind and make you feel that you are more at work rather than sitting there in your fluffy slippers. So environment — I know we're all struggling with our environment at the moment. Some people are living in large houses, some will be in bed sits, living with other people around us as well. It's very important for us to choose a dedicated workspace in our homes, even if that is just a corner of your bedroom. It's crucial to your working mindset, and also it's somewhere that you can say, "Well, that is my working space. And at the end of the day, when I clock off, I leave that and I go somewhere else in my home." So try and keep your space as calm and as uncluttered as possible. Clutter, okay, works for some people, and they say, "I like a messy desk." If you also can, is try and close all the doors to the rest of your house. I know that just sounds as though I'm teaching people to suck eggs, but it does make a difference. Close your cupboard doors, put your stuff away, and make your space as clean as possible. So at the moment, I've got children downstairs that are being homeschooled by my husband, and on the way up the stairs, I closed all the bedroom doors. They're going to be in their homeschool probably for the next 50 minutes until they get a break. I don't want to see that potential mess in bedrooms when I'm trying to think about work. Also, close your bathroom door. We don't sit outside our bathrooms at work. Anything that's going to create a distraction for you. So try and sit on a proper chair where you can with a back. And posture is everything. It really helps to get our breath working properly around our bodies, which also helps us with our motivation and our concentration. And I will show you a couple of things about posture later on. If you can, try and work from a screen, like a monitor, so that you are sitting upright. If you can't do that at the moment and you're just working off laptops, make sure that your laptop is elevated so that your spine can be as elevated as possible. It makes a massive difference. So in summary, just whatever space that you have, try to make it as office-like as possible. So looking after your customers, who are your customers? Well, if you have children and caring responsibilities right now, then we all know that we cannot parent our children and effectively work at the same time. So how do we manage that? I said I would do a little bit of this, and I'm very happy to do another separate webinar on this. You're going to have to get into a negotiation and a collaboration situation with your partner or the other people that you live with in your home. You may have to get up earlier to get through the stuff that you need to do that day before the children get up. So this morning I decided I was going to do my personal workout as soon as I got out of bed, and I got up just before 7 this morning. I logged on and I found a body conditioning class and I did my workout. Then I also later on, once I got the kids up, I did the Joe Wicks workout, which all the children are doing. He's the nation's PE teacher and it's fantastic. It's only half an hour. So whatever you can do, try and make sure that you are making time for the things that you need to do. If your children's schoolwork needs to be completed, then set them tasks. The night before, think about how you're going to break up that day with them and how you're going to break up that day with yourself managing them. You may have to give extra bonus points. You may have to have a reward system, which is either cash or incentives or TV or iPad time that they are working towards when they complete their tasks. And this is particularly true for any children that has perhaps a neurodiverse condition or disability. One of our children has that, an executive function disability, and we really have to stick to the routines of the tasks. So it's also about thinking about your partner, the working patterns that they're having. You have to agree those workspaces and the time management with them. Get into the mindset that you're actually all working for the same organization, which is the family or the flatmates or whatever the name of your house is or the number of your flat. You're working in different functions within this organization and you're working in a shared space. So try and have those collective meetings with your housemates and your partners and think about, how do we work? How do my co-workers here work together? And how do I work with my co-workers in my team? And I'm going to talk a bit more about looking after your customers, looking after those teams as well while you're online. Managing your time is, of course, incredibly difficult for all of us. I know that many people think, oh, well, when you're working at home, you can put the washing on, you can do this, you're not really working. But actually, I think many of us are finding how difficult it can be working from home, because you've still got the same tasks, but you also have all the distractions. So it's setting your agenda the night before. What are the tasks that you are going to complete or that you have to complete? If you have a to-do list, and I write a to-do list, do it by hand. I know it sounds crazy when people are thinking, oh, well, I've got all these apps on my phone and on my computer, but actually handwriting is a complex task and requires various skills. There's lots of evidence to support this, that actually writing things out by hand and bringing these internal thoughts into the physical world, it is a different mechanism and fires up a different side of our brain than actually just typing them in. You're more likely to stick to the tasks and you are giving yourself a dopamine boost when you're able to actually physically tick off those lists as you achieve them. Structure your work in the way that you would in the office. So what I mean by that is, if you do calls in the morning, and of course this all depends on our clients and it depends on our bosses, but if you can manage to have some control over your work, then if your calls are in the morning, keep them in the morning. If you do some design in the afternoon, keep to that pattern of designing. Our neural pathways in our brains are already fired up and ready to follow the same path. So make it easier for yourself by doing that. Your body and your brain will thank you for it, and your mental health as well. Do the hard things in the first 2 hours of the morning. Our brains are at their peak in those first 2 hours. So anything that requires real decision-making skills, really think about optimizing that first 2 hours. Give yourself proper breaks, and that is perhaps 20 minutes at a time. Remember to stretch and breathe, and I'll do a little bit more of that as we go on. What we need is to think about releasing a chemical in our system, which is called acetylcholine, which is our break. It's actually the chemical that helps us to renew and to calm down so that we can then achieve more tasks. And that is about, it's about putting our body into recovery. So breathing, walking, if you have a garden, go and walk around the garden, even if it's raining. If you don't have a garden, then take that proper break, go and make yourself a coffee, get away from the computer. Don't just go and check your Instagram, but make sure that you are getting away. Make sure that you clock in and you clock out. It's very important to say, well, actually, when am I working? Because we can go on and on and on. So decide what time you're going to start and what time you finish and when your actual breaks is and when you're actually going to have lunch. Turn off all your distractions. If you particularly have a deadline, try and close down your email. Take all the pings, all these WhatsApp groups that we're all on, turn your phone away, take off all the pings, because again, it's so easy to be distracted. And then that actually deconstructs our day and then deconstructs how we feel about ourselves. We want to achieve our task. So staying focused, it takes 25 minutes more or less to refocus back onto a task after an interruption. This is according to Gloria Mark, who's a workplace expert at the University of California. So for instance, 60-second checking Instagram break doesn't just cost you 1 minute, it costs you 26 minutes. And of course, we are going to be distracted by potentially children, partners, other people around us while we're working at home. But it's really, when you find that you have been distracted by something, don't beat yourself up. Think about that 25 minutes and give yourself that time to really refocus. Don't give up and go, oh, that's it, I've lost the plot now, I can't focus. Just try and get back into that task, try and get back into that action and give yourself a break. But absolutely turn off the TV, turn off the radio. Unless you work in comms or unless, you know, your business is all based online, don't open social media. Really just focus on everything you possibly can at that time. Lots of time management modules out there. Try this one. This is the way that I'm working at the moment. It's the 50-20-50 productivity method. We're also using this with our children, so that they are working for 50 minutes and then they get their 20 minute break with other little breaks in between. I'm doing it myself, and I think it just helps to set up your day and set up your task, and it also helps with that concentration to know that I'm going to get a break at the end of this. This is called the Eisenhower Matrix, and it's about prioritizing work. There's lots more online about this, but I just wanted to try and help you with the structure of how you can do things. The things that we need to focus on. So I do this, I split my work up into these four sections. The top left is the important and the urgent things that we need to do today. So that is the project deadline that has to be made. It's the progress report for the team meeting, or it's the preparation for the presentation that you're doing tomorrow. Top right, important but not so urgent. And what I mean by that is, this is where you should be scheduling time to do this. So maybe planning for meetings, a strategy for forecasting or doing some creative ideas, put that into that quadrant. So it's still there, you haven't lost it, but you're only focusing on the top left box to start with. It just helps to chunk everything up. Then we have the bottom left, which is the delegation. So not so important, but it might be urgent. Delegate whatever you can. So that may be answering some emails. Maybe somebody else can do that for you. Maybe someone else in your team. Responding to comments. Is that completely urgent right now? And delegating work for future tasks to other people. And then we've got bottom right, the not important and the not urgent, which literally takes into the playing your online games. I know we all know this, but I just want to position it. Checking your social media, literally, I have this phone next to me the whole time. And if I do not turn off those pings, then I am going back onto WhatsApp groups for school parents or WhatsApp groups for friends or whatever. And you get sucked into that wormhole. So really, give yourself a break, cut yourself some slack, turn it all off. A study that was done last year in 2019, and it was about the biggest struggle with working remotely. And of course, first of all, you see unplugging after work is very hard because we can all keep going and saying, I'll just do this little bit extra. We can be hyper-focused and really sucked into it. But the second one I think is very important, and that is loneliness. Those of you, particularly those that are living alone, I think that can be incredibly difficult for you. And it's about managing you and managing your manager and managing your teams. So for example, could you ask your manager, if you are the manager yourself, do a 10-minute call every morning to kick off the day with the team? Often you maybe just haven't thought about this, but actually this human contact with other people outside our immediate family is incredibly important at the moment. Now is the time to connect with your manager and your colleagues even more than ever and take advantage that they will actually be at home as well. So they're not traveling, they're not on an airline going around the world, whatever it is, when you can't get a hold of them, try and set up something where you can have these face-to-face calls. It's incredibly important. Even more, we can feel unstructured and it can be isolating. So if you are managing a team, please get in front of them as much as you possibly can. You might spend the majority of your time working in silence. Is there a way that perhaps you can patch into somebody else who's in your team that's working on the same project? Doesn't mean that you have to have a chat, but even doing some FaceTime where they are sitting at their home desk, home working, and you're sitting doing your homework, but it's almost like you've got that colleague working with you. It can make a difference. Try it. Try anything that you think can work for yourself with these top tips. Right, okay, I'm going to go back there. What I was going to position this is as, how do we show up online? How do we show up visually? I actually recorded a couple of very short films earlier on in the week of me doing an effective or a not so effective Zoom call with my fantasy team, and then doing also a better, more effective, but not quite right, and a more effective. All of these will, I'm going to share with We Are City, which they can load up. They're just a bit of fun, and they'll also be on my YouTube channel as well. So here we go. Here is me just waiting for people to show up on the Zoom call. So if people were here at the beginning, you saw me kind of sitting here and smiling a little bit, maybe taking some notes. So behind me, I have not thought about my set dressing behind me. So you have the nation's favorite thing at the moment, the toilet paper behind me, and there's some washing and a dress hanging up and so on. And I'm drinking out one of my child's mugs and I haven't brushed my hair. So I, as a performer, and I'm an actor originally, I'm a TV presenter and a workshop leader, I think it's very important how we show up, because this is actually now more of your calling card than ever before. It's not just about what you say, the work that you do, but it's actually how you show up. So be very aware of what is going around behind you. I have been to so many virtual meetings where there is stuff falling down behind people. You know, pin something up. If you really don't have space or if you're in a cupboard, just be aware, check it out, what people are looking at. And the reason for this is that they are looking at all that other stuff around your house and they're not necessarily listening to your message. What you want them to do is to be engaged with you as much as possible. Okay, this was a bit of fun. This is at the end of the video, is just be very aware that people might still be online. You may have turned your sound off, but your camera is still on. And this is me just getting up, having had my nice dress on and my nice necklace, and actually I'm having a little bit of a scratch and I'm wearing my pajama bottoms. So just be aware of that. So this is me doing what could be deemed as a bit more effective. I've cleared all that stuff from behind, just wearing a simple outfit. But what I'm doing here is I am talking to my team or talking to the other people online, but I am looking at them, or I'm looking at myself. So you can see from my eye line, I'm actually not making contact with anyone. what I'm doing right now is I am looking at straight down the lens of the camera. You need to start thinking in that TV presenter category if you want to make contact. So what I'll do now is I will just literally look at my notes, I'll look at my slide deck, or I could potentially be looking at some of the other people on this call, and I'm trying to relay some information. So looking at someone else's picture does not mean that I'm actually making any contact. So when you are the speaker, you need to be looking at the camera, because that is what other people see. They see your eyes. So there I am. This is me later on doing that, having a quick conversation with my team and looking straight down the lens. And obviously, when other people are talking and you're interacting, when you're in Zoom meetings or you're in these live webinars for yourself with your teams, yes, look at the other people. But when you are the speaker, make sure that you're looking down that lens. That's where you get that connectivity. Also, a very important to not just talk about business when we are showing up virtually. We need these water cooler moments, the times when actually people share stuff about themselves. It's the informal interactions. These are the things that strengthen social bonds. And right now, we need more than ever to be strengthening our social bonds, just outside of the parameters that we're living in at the moment. So think about if you are, you can even suggest this, you don't have to be the leader of the group. Actually say, should we have a virtual coffee break or a water cooler moment where we're just showing up and we're meeting each other and we're chatting? Can you begin each meeting with a personal roundup? Obviously, if there's 20 people on a call, that's very difficult to do that. Can you go into breakout rooms? If you have Zoom, professional Zoom, it doesn't cost very much. You can actually put people into breakout rooms and they can have that quick chat before the meeting. And particularly actually, if you're going into a client meeting, when you're using something like Zoom, have that quick meeting beforehand so that you can all position who's going to talk when and where when you're talking to that client. Also get your voice heard. Because very often, if we are in front of the camera for the first time that day, we may not have actually spoken to anyone. So it's very important to feel that we are still human and that we are connecting with people by using our voices before we actually potentially maybe have to do a pitch. If you are having these coffee breaks or these quick meetings beforehand, asking open questions is incredibly important. What's going well? What's your biggest challenge? How are you at the moment? I'm really listening to the answer rather than just doing this, you know, how are you, but I'm actually not interested. We need to build in time to connect properly with each other and have these conversations. Holding the virtual coffee breaks, even in your virtual team building exercises, you can do things like quizzes. One thing that you don't know about me, why not if you have Friday night drinks or Friday night coffees, why don't you get together and say, do you know what, for like 20 minutes at the end of the day or half an hour at the end of the day, we're just going to have a little roundup of, you know, what we're potentially thinking of doing at the weekend. Share, and also share how your week has been, or share some fun stuff about yourself. Certainly, you can make this stuff up, and there'll be plenty online to do it, but please do try and connect that way. This is all, even although we are talking through technology, it's all about being more human. The more the other person at the end of that camera gets to know you, the more trust that they will build. So this is Bruce Tuckerman's model for mapping team performance. And although we may have been in a team when we were physically at work, we're all now managing almost like what is a new team because we're all doing it virtually. So what happens at the beginning of a new team is that we get into this forming stage, which is where we have everybody's a little bit suspicious of each other, our purpose is unclear, there isn't very much guidance and direction, and we don't feel very confident. After that stage of getting into these new teams, and think about, this is actually what we're doing at home as well. If you're managing children or if you're managing your flatmates, that is also now a team. You know, there's going to be some conflicts. And when we move into the storming area, that's where conflicts arrive. There's power struggles. But what we need to be doing that is actually taking a step back and thinking about increased clarity and purpose. Why are we in this team and what do we need to get out of it? Then we move into the norming stage where we all get a little bit used to this is how we're working at the moment, this is who we are. That's where we can start addressing some concerns and having really clear roles of who does what and what the expectations are and and get to trust each other and articulate what we need. Then we move into the performing stage where actually we do know where we are and what our time schedules are and who's doing what and when. So we're able to focus more on conversations, communication, and actually focusing towards the achievement and potentially delegating some tasks to each other. And then we get into the adjourning stage, which is the task is complete and we need to celebrate our success and recognize individuals within that team. This is what happens when we form new teams. Even if you've been in this team before, we're thinking this is a different time of life. So we're working in teams in a different way. So the landscape has changed at the moment and we need to adapt and be part of the solution to help everyone function effectively. And how we can do that when we're navigating each stage of this. So when we're in the forming stage and it's all very new to us, we need to establish clear objectives for the team members. And this can be your team at work or your team working at home. When we're in the storming stage, what can we do? How can I help you? You need to establish process and structures. So doing things the same every day or deciding who does what when. You need to build trust and good relationships and understand that we're all going through this very different change. Really support each other and resolve conflicts quickly and do that when you can, face to face. But certainly don't try and do that over email if you can call the person. And provide the support to people that are less secure and less confident. There's going to be a whole lot of people that are now having to do virtual team meetings that are thinking, I hate seeing myself on camera. I hate anybody seeing me. So you need to help support those people. The norming is about helping team members take responsibility for the progress towards their own goals. And that may involve, if you're a manager or just being part of that virtual team, you may need to get into some coaching of each other, just deciding amongst that team who's going to be your coaching buddy. And it's not just about coaching when it comes to the work, but actually coaching about life as well. You can do some co-coaching and there's plenty of stuff out there about how you coach, and I can also help with that. Performing, so it's starting focusing on the goals and the different areas of work where we've got through all of these stages and we're actually accepting the situation that we're in and taking time to celebrate the achievements. So how do we build trust, and particularly when we are all working virtually? Well, trust, when this is the trust equation, which is just a really good way of thinking about, well, how do I manage how people get to know me when I may have been that person that nobody had ever spoken to before? So it's all about credibility, and it's positioning yourself as the authority, no matter where you are in the pecking order of the organization. Your credibility is about the value that you add and what you do. And this is what gets you noticed, and it has a high impact. So people need to know what value that you add. And that is multiplied by reliability. So doing what you say you will do, which is obviously, we're saying it's very hard at the moment, but keep doing what you say you will do. And that helps to build your reputation as a safe pair of hands. And that's timed by intimacy. And intimacy is all about empathy and understanding. It's about being more human. I use that phrase a lot, being more human. It's about people like people and trust people if they like how they make them feel. You don't always remember what you say, but they will remember how you make them feel. And this is all over this equation. I said it was an equation over self-interest. And of course, we all have self-interest. But if everything above the line gets negated, if the self-interest is very high at the bottom. So you really have to think about, what is the value that I'm adding? How can I help this other person? And I do this by asking questions, showing genuine empathy, letting other people speak first in a Zoom call, and actively listening to what their needs are. And if you are the manager of that group, it's making sure that everyone has time to talk at that meeting. No one is ignored and no one is pushing other people out of the way. Okay, this very quickly, building your power squad. This is about thinking about the social support network that you have. It's key to surviving and thriving. So it's about you thinking about building a team of trusted advisors around you so that they can give you support when you need it. So you've got your champions and your cheerleaders. These are the people that talk positively about you, compliment you, and give you their time. Your analysts and your researchers, these are the people that are very sensible, non-emotional, balanced and pragmatic. If I have a very emotional problem going on, I don't go to my emotional friends or colleagues. I will go to the ones that are really practical, because those are the ones that will help to pick it apart and give me a different perspective. Your elevators and your distractors, those are the people that pick you up when you're down. They give you a laugh, they're fun and excitement. And your nurturers and your carers are the people that look after your needs and really notice when you're not being yourself. Try and think about, this is not about putting people in boxes, but thinking about, what are the key skills of all the people that are around me? Who are the people that I need to go to when I've got any of these issues? So physicality and hormones, we all know this, it's all over the place. Try and get your 10,000 steps a day, even if that is doing HIIT, doing something like stretching, yoga, anything that you can get. As I said, Joe Wicks is doing this every morning online at 9 o'clock. Interval training, you can do that on the spot. You do not need a big space to do any of these things, but make sure that you're keeping your physical strength up. If you can, get outside for at least 10 minutes a day. It helps with your vitamin D and it helps with how you feel about yourself. Oh my goodness, we're running out of time. Okay, posture. This is how we usually sit very often when we're hunched over our computers. As you can see, it's really not good for your spine, and it's actually putting a strain at the front of my throat there and down the back and over my shoulders. We often sit doing this when we're on the phone. We're not getting enough breath into our bodies when we sit like this, and it actually can help to undermine our confidence. So what we want to be doing is to be sitting more like this. You're thinking about a golden thread pulling you up through your spine all the way up, and that you're suspended from the ceiling above. And to help you to remind yourself to do that, put a cushion behind you. It really makes a difference to how you feel. Lots of different ways that you can stretch while you're sitting at your chair. This is called a spinal twist. You can look at that if you do yoga. There'll be lots of yoga demonstrations doing this. And even just in these little breaks that you're taking, make sure that you stretch out your back, your chest, your arms, your shoulders, your hands, where we get a lot of tension. Finally, breathing. I love to do more on that. But what happens is that we excrete 60% of our toxins in our body through our breath alone. So deep rhythmic breathing can really help to flush out those toxins and make ourselves feel better. So now that none of us are paying for all those fancy spas and the gym memberships, just learn to breathe. It's free and it really helps with your hormone balance, of getting that balance back into your system. To it lowers your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and helps to increase your testosterone, which is your confidence boost.
A huge thank you, Mari. I cannot thank you enough for being my guest on this episode and sharing so many tips for our audience. If you want to find out more about Mari, you can connect with her on LinkedIn, find her on Twitter, or you can visit scenechange.co.uk. So once again, a huge thank you to all of you for tuning in for this episode of She Talks Tech. We are really looking forward to welcoming you next Wednesday for another bumper episode.